Chapter 47. People at the table and guest out the nationalities of most of the guests to our satisfaction, but we failed with an elderly gentleman, and his wife and a young girl who sat opposite us, and with a gentleman of about 35 who sat three seats beyond Harris. We did not hear any of these speak, but finally the last named gentleman left, while we were not noticing, but we looked up as he reached the far end of the table. He stopped there a moment, and made his toilet with a pocket comb. So he was a German, or else he had lived in German hotels long enough to catch the fashion. When the elderly couple and the young girl rose to leave, they bowed respectfully to us. So they were Germans too. This national custom is worth six of the other one, for export. After dinner we talked with several Englishmen, and they inflamed our desire to a hotter degree than ever, to see the sights of Meiringen from the heights of the Brunig Pass. They said the view was marvelous, and that one who had seen it once could never forget it. They also spoke of the romantic nature of the road over the pass, and how in one place it had been cut through a flank of the solid rock, in such a way, that the mountain overhung the tourist as he passed by. And they furthermore said, that the sharp turns in the road, and the abruptness of the descent, would afford us a thrilling experience, for we should go down in a flying gallop, and seem to be spinning around the rings of a whirlwind, like a drop of whiskey descending the spirals of a corkscrew. I got all the information out of these gentlemen, that we could need, and then, to make everything complete, I asked them, if a body could get hold of a little fruit and milk here and there, in case of necessity. They threw up their hands in speechless intimation, that the road was simply paved with refreshment peddlers. We were impatient to get away now, and the rest of our 2 hour stop rather dragged. But finally the set time arrived, and we began thus and. Indeed it was a wonderful road. It was smooth, and compact, and clean, and the side next the precipices was guarded all along by dressed stone posts about 3 feet high, placed at short distances apart. The road could not have been better built, if Napoleon I had built it. He seems to have been the introducer of the sort of roads which Europe now uses. All literature which describes life as it existed in England, France, and Germany up to the close of the last century, is filled with pictures of coaches and carriages wallowing through these three countries in mud and slush half-wheel deep. But after Napoleon had floundered through a conquered kingdom he generally arranged things so that the rest of the world could follow dry shod. We went on climbing, higher and higher, and curving hither and thither, in the shade of noble woods, and with a rich variety and profusion of wild flowers all about us, and glimpses of rounded grassy backbones below us occupied by trim chalets and nibbling sheep, and other glimpses of far lower altitudes, where distance diminished the chalets to toys, and obliterated the sheep altogether. And every now and then some ermined monarch of the Alps swung magnificently into view for a moment, then drifted past an intervening spur and disappeared again. It was an intoxicating trip altogether. The exceeding sense of satisfaction that follows a good dinner added largely to the enjoyment. The having something especial to look forward to and muse about, like the approaching grandeurs of Meiringen, sharpened the zest. Smoking was never so good before, solid comfort was never solider. We lay back against the thick cushion silent, meditative, steeped in felicity. I rubbed my eyes, opened them, and started. I had been dreaming I was at sea, and it was a thrilling surprise to wake up and find land all around me. It took me a couple seconds to home to, as you may say, then I took in the situation. The horses were drinking at a trough in the edge of a town, the driver was taking beer, Harris was snoring at my side, the courier, with folded arms and bowed head, was sleeping on the box, 2 dozen barefooted and bareheaded children were gathered about the carriage, with their hands crossed behind, gazing up with serious and innocent admiration at the dozing tourists baking there in the sun. Several small girls held night-capped babies nearly as big as themselves in their arms, and even these fat babies seemed to take a sort of sluggish interest in us. We had slept an hour and a half, and missed all the scenery. I did not need anybody to tell me that. If I had been a girl, I could have cursed for vexation. As it was, I woke up the agent, and gave him a piece of my mind. Instead of being humiliated, he only upbraided me for being so wanting in vigilance. He said he had expected to improve his mind by coming to Europe, but a man might travel to the ends of the earth with me, and never see anything, for I was manifestly endowed with the very genius of ill luck. He even tried to get up some emotion about that poor courier, who never got a chance to see anything, on account of my heedlessness. But when I thought I had borne about enough of this kind of talk, I threatened to make Harris tramp back to the summit, and make a report on that scenery, and this suggestion spiked his battery. We drove sullenly through Bryan's, dead to the seductions of its bewildering array of Swiss carvings, and the clamorous hoo-hooing of its cuckoo clocks, and had not entirely recovered our spirits, when we rattled across a bridge over the rushing Blue River, and entered the pretty town of Interlaken. It was just about sunset, and we had made the trip from Lucerne in 10 hours. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.